Psalm 62:11 says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. God hath spoken once. What David was saying there is that God speaks a certain message for a certain people at a particular time. He said, twice have I heard this. Then that same message must be repeated over and over again before it gets a hold of the hearts of the people. The problem is the heart is not prepared soil for the seed of the word. So we see God has spoken once. He has a message today in this broadcast. He has spoken once. And the message twice, maybe this message you may have heard several times in the past. David said, twice have I heard this. And the repetition is designed to give emphasis to what's said or to call attention to it as being worthy of notice. This message is deserving of your special attention. Now, I mentioned that the problem is the heart of man, that the heart is not prepared. The reason why the message has to be repeated over and over again, because oftentimes the heart is hardened through different means. Hebrews 3:7-8 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And then Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will harden the heart. Pride, prayerlessness, lack of reading the Bible, letting the water of the word wash you daily. This will harden your heart. Worldliness, being away from the things of God, it will make your heart hardened so that the truth makes no impression, or the preaching that you listen to is without interest. You're dull in your spirit. You hear a message coming forth and it does nothing for you. You think, I can't even stand to listen to that. And it's because your heart is hardened. You're dull in spirit. Or God's voice makes no impression on you. The word is not affecting you like it should. In Psalm 81:11, it is said of God's people, the Israelites, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. And the reason why was because they did not like the terms that God was giving to them. They didn't want to be ruled by his voice. They didn't want to obey him. They didn't like what they were hearing. So that's another reason why the message has to come again and again and again, because your heart might not be ready to receive what God is speaking. In Jeremiah 25:4, it says that the Lord sent his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. The people, they heard it from prophet after prophet after prophet. God had a message for the people. So he woke up the prophets early in the morning and sent them with that message. Go tell my people, they have to hear this. But they did not hearken nor incline their ear to hear. And it was because they were listening to other voices, all other voices besides the voice of God. So we see in Psalm 62:11, David said, God has spoken once. He has the message, a certain message for a certain people at a certain time. Twice have I heard this. Oftentimes, that same message has to be repeated again and again and again till it penetrates the heart, gets a hold of the heart. Now, in this broadcast, God has a message for you today. And that message is that power belongeth unto God. Power belongeth unto God. We're talking about great power, almighty power, the power that appeared from the creation of all things out of nothing, and then the preservation of all those things. We're talking about the power of God that he demonstrates in governing the world, and also that which was demonstrated in the redemption of his people by Jesus and the deliverance of his people from their enemies. What is spoken and thus heard? The fact that God, the God with whom we have to do, is infinite in power. He is almighty. He can do everything. With him, nothing is impossible. All things of all creatures are derived, all powers of all creatures are derived from him, depend upon him, are used by him as he pleases. His is the power, and to him we must ascribe it. Now, you may have thought when you heard me say the message for today is power belongs to God. You may have thought, well, Connie, I already know that. I already know that. Well, let me give you an example of someone in the Bible who thought he knew something until he went through a trial. Job. It says of Job that he was a righteous man and that he walked with God and he was very devout before God, so much so that God bragged on him before Satan. And Satan was allowed to strip Job of everything he had and also to afflict his physical body with this painful disease. And not only that, but Job was made to feel as though God was his enemy, that God was afflicting him and God had turned his back on him. But at the end of the trial, we hear Job saying to the Lord, I know that you can do everything and that no thought can be withholden from you. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Job know that before the trial? I mean, really, he walked with God so closely. Didn't he know God can do everything? Oh, but it took this horrible attack of the devil, this fiery trial, for him to really know it, to understand it in a deeper way, where he said, Lord, I may have thought I knew it, but now I know you can do everything, and no thought can be withholden from you. So we're talking about in this broadcast of taking you deeper in the understanding of power belonging to God, that he is the only ultimate source of all power. All else may fail you, but the power of God will not fail. And that's a good reason why you should make God your confidence, because he is a God of infinite power. And that's a good reason why you should trust in him at all times and live in a constant dependence upon him, because he is able to do all for you that you entrust him for. And that's a good reason why you should trust in him alone. We go over to Matthew 6:13, a very familiar verse of scripture in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Notice what the prayer said. Thine is the power. God, you have universal power. You have the power to accomplish what we as Christians ask. We may be weak and cannot do it. We can't fight the enemy. But you are almighty and all things are possible with you. You are omnipotent. You have the power to give us our daily bread. You have the power to forgive us our sins. You have the power to preserve us, support us under, and deliver us out of every temptation. And you have the power to keep us from evil. Listen to what the Sermon Bible Commentary said. Let us further illustrate by our lives these other words. Thine is the power. Let us endeavor to live practically in the faith that all power belongs to God. We are in a world of much confusion and difficulty, and we feel that we ourselves are weak and feeble. But surely our God is a God of power, powerful to preserve from evil, power to keep, powerful to keep us from sin, powerful enough to give us peace in our death and a happy resurrection after it. Then we go over to Matthew 28:18, where Jesus declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, as God, equal with the Father, all power was originally and essentially his. But he's talking about now as the God-man, as mediator, because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus was given all power in heaven and in earth. Listen to what the Sermon Bible Commentary said. Jesus has all power in heaven in order that the church on earth should constantly and steadfastly look away from all that is human and temporal and know of no other mediation, strength, guidance, and comfort but the power and love, the wisdom and faithfulness of her one only Master and Head. Jesus is all power in heaven, and the church on earth, because of that, should look away from everything human and temporal. But is she? Oh, that's a good question. And the church should know of no other mediation but Jesus. We're not to pray to Mary. We're not to pray to dead saints. We are to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Why? Because power belongs unto God, and Jesus is God. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Okay, so the message that God is wanting us to receive today is that power belongeth unto God. Now we're going to go back to the beginning of Psalm 62, and we are going to watch David get a hold of this truth, and this truth get a hold of him. And we're going to see what it did for his faith and his confidence. Okay, in verse 1, he said, "Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation." Now he's thinking power belongeth unto God. So he said, "Truly, indeed, really." And it's depicting a state of mind of one who's seriously contemplating a subject here. He's looked around on his condition, and he's taken an estimate of all his resources, all his means of reliance, to see what was his real trust and his real feelings. And this is what he said. He said, "My soul does sincerely confide in God. I have no other recourse. I have no power to meet my foes. I am sure my real trust is where it ought to be, in God. I see nothing in myself on which to rely. I see so much crime, falsehood, treachery in people. I can't confide in them. I can't rely on them. But I do see that in God, which leads me, I see in him that which leads me to trust in him, because power belongs unto him." And then he said, "Truly, my soul waiteth upon God." What he was saying is, my soul is experiencing the silence of faith. It's calm. I have no apprehension as to what can happen. My mind is at peace because I feel all is in the hands of God, and he's worthy of my entire trust and confidence. I've committed my whole case to him. That's what it means when you wait upon God. You commit everything into his hands. And the reason why David did that was because all power belongs unto God. So he said, "My soul waits upon God. From him comes my salvation. My safety is from him, and my security is with him." Then in verse 2, he said, "He only." And you'll find out wherever he puts "only," it intensifies the thought. See, he's thinking power belongs unto God. Okay, well, he only is my rock. He's my strong, fortified place and my salvation. He's my continual safety. He's my defense. He's my high tower, my stronghold, my elevated tower that places me out of the reach of my enemies. And because all power belongs to him, I shall not be greatly moved. He said, I'm not going to be shaken in my faith at all. Then we go to verse 5, and we notice that he starts to repeat himself, only with more intensity. He's thinking, power belongs unto God. So now he says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Power belongs unto him. Wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Because all power belongs to him, I've committed my whole cause to him, and there's nobody but him in whom I can safely trust. I've resigned myself into his hands. I'm subject to him. I'm silent before him. I'm resting in him, and I'm waiting for his salvation. Because power belongs unto him, my expectation is from him. What I expect and all that I hope for, it's going to come from him. And then in verse 6, he said, once again, he repeats, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Now, if you'll notice, verse 6 is the same as verse 2. Same words, except this time he leaves out greatly. He doesn't say, I shall not be greatly moved. He says, I shall not be moved. And by that wording, he's indicating my confidence is increasing. This is getting a hold of me, that power belongs unto God. And he's saying, whatever my enemies may attempt, whatever they have planned, I will not be shaken at all. And his language here indicates more entire confidence, more certain conviction. In the beginning, there was a slight apprehension or fear that existed, but now we see it has dissipated and his mind has become perfectly calm. And these epithets, he only is my rock, my salvation, my defense. These are all intended. The repetition of these epithets is repeated to strengthen his faith and hope in God, the one that all power belongs to. And then he said, I shall not be moved. You see, his confidence has increased greatly. I shall not be moved. Then in verse 7, he says, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God, the one that power belongs unto him. In him is my salvation. He that is God over all, he took it upon himself to save me. He's the author of my salvation, and he's my glory. He's the object of my glory. He's the one of whom I boast, and he's the one in whom I glory today. And he's the rock of my strength, my strongest support, because power belongs unto him. He's my refuge. I'll flee to him for safety. And then lastly, he says this. He says, this got a hold of him so much so that now he's preaching to you and me today. He's preaching to all believers, all Christians all over the world. And from all times, he's saying, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. You see, it's got a hold of me. Power belongs unto God. It's not just in my head. It's in my heart. This word has got a hold of my heart. And now I tell you, trust in him at all times. Trust in him fully. There's not a moment in which he is not to be trusted in. There's no time accepted. Whether you're in adversity, prosperity, affliction, darkness, danger, trust in him at all times. This is addressed to all people in all circumstances at all times. David's saying, what I found him to be, you'll find him to be. Power belongs unto him, people of God. Power belongs unto him. Pour out your heart before him. Give him your complaints. Give him your desires. Give full expression to your feelings today. God is a refuge for us. I found out how David is saying, oh, but trust me, I found it out. Power belongs unto our God. He's a refuge for you, no matter what time, if it's a time of trouble, trust in him. He's a refuge for you today, because power belongs unto this God. Oh, I tell you today, God has spoken once. His message is, power belongs unto God. Twice have I heard it. How many times have you heard it? That power belongs unto God. Oh, this time, let it get a hold of your heart today. Let it change you. Let it be worked out in your circumstance. And know that God is a refuge for you today. You can trust him at all times, people of God. Give it to him. Wait on him. Relinquish it all to him. Cast your burden on him, because all power belongs unto him. This is Connie Giordano coming to you live on Spreaker Radio. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that this word would penetrate the hearts of your people, would just push out any hardness of heart. Lord God, would smash any hardness of heart, would bring down any idols, Lord. And that this word from you, Lord, would just take a hold of the hearts of your people, and faith would rise, confidence would increase, and that miracles would result. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Until next time, be blessed of the Lord Jesus. Amen.